So there's a basketball game happening tonight? Well, even the most casual fan knows. The Michigan Wolverines will be scoring off against top-seeded Louisville for the NCAA title tonight. This young Michigan team could make Wolverine history by winning the first title since 1989. Michigan Radio's sports commentator John Eubacon joins us now. Hey, John.
Greetings.
Well, you really, really do know these players. And I'm wondering, what do you think it is about this group of kids and this coach that has put them in this game tonight?
Well, as far as the competitive aspect, the main thing is they all bought into John Beilein's very unique system. He stresses three-point shooting. He stresses ball movement. He's not got the biggest team out there, nor necessarily the fastest, but they work extraordinarily well together. So it's always fun to see a team that buys into a system, plays it very well, and is remarkably selfless as to how they do it. The ball gets passed constantly. They don't care who gets the points. They care about winning. So that alone makes them fun to watch. The second fact is they are having a good time playing. It's the Magic Johnson syndrome. Mm. Of course, you recall Magic Johnson, yep. The way he smiled while he played. These guys are having a good time and enjoying each other's company.
Correct me if I'm wrong, John, but these really do seem like the kids next door.
Very much so. Now, they're bigger than the kids next to your house, probably.
That's true.
but you got guys like Mitch McGarry. This guy, when he's about 10 or 12, he got a unicycle to run his paper route and actually did his paper route on his unicycle. That's not your average guy.
No.
To say the least, Nick Stauskas is from Canada. And despite that fact, he does not care at all about hockey and seems to know nothing about it, which is kind of cool in a way. Whenever he plays well, which is quite often, they've got a maize and blue Canada national flag, actually, in the stands, which you'll probably see this weekend, tonight, that is.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat, and his parents are from Lithuania, so he comes by, and honestly, they offer he and his brother the choice to either have a backyard pool, a tennis court, or hoops, and these guys pick hoops, so he's a hardcore basketball guy, perhaps without question the biggest star of the team is Trey Burke.
Sure.
He's won almost every National Player of the Year honor, so he's cleaned up, to say the least. His dad, and by the way, all these families are deeply involved in their kids' lives, which is one thing that I know Beilein really appreciates, which certainly makes them easier to coach, too, I think, in many ways. They have very strong family backgrounds. And his dad made Trey Burke eat and brush his teeth left-handed as a kid to make sure he was ambidextrous, which may sound a little crazy, but apparently it worked.
Dad with his eye on the long-term prize.
Yeah, exactly. Not about strength, but about ball handling.
Yeah.
And he was right. The guy is ambidextrous, and that part paid off. You've also got three sons of NBA celebrities. You've got Tim Hardaway Jr., Greg Glenn Robinson III, and John Horford. And all three of their dads were NBA stars, which is actually a very cool thing also because John Beilein knows that those players, for all the corruption in college basketball, those players can't be bought off. $30,000 is pretty small when your dad has got $30 million. So being bought off was not part of their dad's agenda. What their dads wanted in all three cases was a very stable program where the kids would go to school and not be exploited. So in that sense, Beilein was very savvy going against for these NBA stars' kids who have fit in very, very well in the program.
And give us some insights, personal insights, about Coach Beilein. When I think of that story, that really compelling story of this veteran coach who's 60 and he's matched with this astonishingly young team, why has that worked so well?
John is a great teacher, and he's spoken before my class at Michigan. And what strikes me about it when he does that, yes, we talk about basketball, yes, we talk about Michigan hoops and whatnot. He really spends his time talking about the 150 students in my class, which is not what the average celebrity does. And he's got an innate ability to connect with them almost immediately and put himself in their shoes and say, look, when I was, 20, 21, here's what I was thinking, here's what I wanted to do, and explains how he went from working in sanitation in upstate New York. He's actually in a manhole, and when his uncle comes by and says, hey, a job opened up at a junior high school down the street, are you interested? At that point, John is ankle deep and you know what. He looks around his surroundings and then he looks up at his uncle through the hole in the street and says, yeah, that sounds pretty good to me.
Wow.
He didn't debate it too much. But this is the guy who earned his keep, paid all his dues and then some. Always loved college basketball and always sacrificed for it. So see a guy like that really have his path pay off. And We're talking Canisius, Lemoyne, Erie Community College, Richmond, then finally West Virginia, then finally Michigan. This guy has paid a lot of dues, and he's really taking it in stride. He said before last week that if he never got to a Final Four, he would still be okay. Most coaches don't think that. They tend to be crazy.
So he looks at the process, I think, of working with the kids.
Exactly. He engages them. He's a natural teacher, and with his complicated system, that's essential. He's not just recruiting talent and throwing them on the court, which is what a lot of big-time coaches sadly do. He is really engaged with these kids, really teaching them. He does not put up with much. In my class, I don't put up with much, no late papers, and he always makes sure that his players who want to get in got a shot to get in because he wants them to have a no-nonsense education. Other coaches might avoid that scenario. He strives for it, which says a lot right there. I will say this, though. Most Michigan coaches want exactly that for their student-athletes.
Now, this is likely the final game wearing maize and blue for some of these players. So which kids do you expect to head to the NBA after the game tonight, John?
I would be floored beyond floored if Trey Burke does not go to the NBA after this. He's going to be a high first-rounder. He is the best player in the nation. So he is 99.9% sure to be gone. There are others who are candidates. Mitch McGarry, I mentioned, the big kid, he's a freshman. He has said that he plans on coming back. So I'm not sure who else might be leaving. My guess is one or two might also join Trey Burke. But the rest could come back next year. And if they do, they'll have another great team with, granted, the best player gone. But they'll still be very competitive. But outside of Trey, I couldn't say for sure. But Trey is gone.
Well, Michigan Radio sports commentator John U. Bacon will be joining us on the show tomorrow to talk about the outcome of tonight's game. John, thanks so much.
Thank you, Cindy.
As the Michigan Wolverines go after their first NCAA championship since 1989, fan excitement is at a fever pitch, which is translating into a rush to get the maize and blue wearables and goodies that marks you as a Wolverine fan, and that in turn is adding up to healthy sales for stores that stock Wolverine merchandise. Stores like Ulrich's Bookstore, right in the heart of the U of M campus. Store manager Todd Goetz joins us now. Hi, Todd.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing? How much busier
Great.
Are you because of this whole big championship run?
Things are going extremely well, especially towards the end of last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, with all the students going down to Atlanta. Everybody stopped in to get some good Michigan gear to take down there with them.
So who do you see coming in? Clearly students. Who else is coming?
All the townspeople, people from all over the state, really. Out of state, people are coming into town for orientation groups, those kind of things. Everybody's stopping by to get some Michigan product.
Now, I'm curious, how does it work? We see this when there's a big, I've seen this with the Stanley Cup, when the final game is played. It's game seven. And suddenly everybody's skating around with hats and shirts that say Stanley Cup champ. So is there an amount of merchandise that's ready to go if they win tonight that says champions?
The printers start printing immediately after the game is over. They have some merchandise that they have for either team if they win, just so they can start advertising the gear.
Okay.
But immediately after that, people start printing product overnight. And we'll be down picking up merchandise at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday morning if we win.
So literally shirts or baseball caps or whatever it is, people are going to be
working. Usually shirts and baseball caps are the first thing.
What's the mood in the store right now, especially with your staff?
Everybody's really excited. The staff's excited. We're having a good time. It's a great time in Ann Arbor.
Todd Goetz manages the Ulrich's Bookstore in Ann Arbor right at the heart of the U of M campus. Todd, thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you.
By the way, a congressman from Kentucky and his counterpart here in Michigan have wagered bourbon, beer, fried chicken, and a deli lunch on the winner of tonight's game. U.S. Representative John Yarmuth, who's a Democrat from Kentucky, put up a bottle of Woodford Reserve bourbon and a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken against a wager by our own John Dingell. He's wagering Arbor Brewing Company beer and a lunch from Zingerman's Deli, both restaurants, of course, in Ann Arbor.